This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Hello, everyone. I'm Charles Mills, health reporter for HeartWise Ministries. Our topic today isn't an easy one to discuss, but no series of radio programs on the subject of health would be complete without it. Domestic violence is something that happens to someone else, to another group of people, to other unfortunate individuals, right? Wrong. Domestic violence is all too common, even among Christians. Our guest today recently retired from her chosen profession of ophthalmology and is now a member of the Domestic Violence Response Team at Southern Adventist University near Chattanooga, Tennessee. She speaks often at churches and has recently written a series of study lessons on the subject of domestic violence within church families. I'm so pleased to have her with us today. Johnny Lauren, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Okay, why this subject, Johnny? Why domestic violence?
Well, I think long enough we as church members have had our heads in the sand about this. You know, you kind of think that if a person had that problem when they were unchurched, that when they became churched, you know, that would all change and that would all float away somehow and we'd all be one big happy family. But as you mentioned in your introduction, that's not necessarily true. And unfortunately, we've discovered by some research done by the committee that our percentages, unfortunately, within the Christian churches, the percentages are just as high as in non-churched families, and that's why the subject needs to be addressed.
Well, what I hear you saying is disturbing here. It's saying to us that when we have someone join the Christian family to make the transition from being unchurched to being churched, apparently something is carried from the unchurched life right directly into the church life. There is not a change that takes place. Why is that? In your research, what have you discovered that is carried from one area to another?
Well, let's say that person grew up in a home that had abuse going on, which is quite often so true. You know, under the third and fourth generations, we tend to all carry those things.
Yes.
It's not a magic wand that gets waved over us when we become a member of a church. The Lord still has to work on us gradually, and as we're able to do it and as we're open to being changed. So it's not something that happens overnight.
It just is amazing because you would think that the people who have become churched have met Jesus and have come to know God. You would think that they have seen the character of God in all of its glory, and there should be a response to understanding that character of God that would make that kind of change in their lives. Wouldn't that be true?
It would be true, Charles, if we were all presenting the character of God appropriately. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily true. You know, when we say we are spreading the good news of the gospel, and, you know, let's face it, there are millions of members of thousands of churches out there that all believe they have the gospel.
Yeah.
And that it's right. But we know that men have flown airplanes into buildings thinking they were right spiritually.
Yes.
So
yes.
Somewhere along the road, as we have read those Bible texts and studied into who God is, we've evidently had the wrong paradigm sometimes. And I think that makes a tremendous difference in how we see God and then how we treat others.
So we are carrying on the tradition of domestic violence when we move from being an unchurched family to being a church family because we are misunderstanding the character of God. Is that what you're saying?
That is a heavy belief of mine.
Really?
And when you get into talking with some of these people and seeing their history, hearing their stories, you can understand. Unfortunately, the more legalistic the religion, the more I have to, because if I don't, God won't love me or God will punish me. you know, we might step outside our own beliefs and see other churches that literally believe that not only will God kill you if you do something wrong, but he will keep you alive and burn you forever, to punish you.
Yes.
So there are lots of views. I mean, we put God is love on church signs, and we talk about God is a loving person, but when it boils down to it, we're talking about he's love if I do the right things or if I belong to the right church. And otherwise, he's going to be vindictive and arbitrary, and he's going to take care of my enemies for me. You know, there's a little bit of that. I want him to do what I'm not supposed to do.
So it sounds like you're saying that there are individuals who, when they are violent toward their spouses or their children, when there is domestic violence, they somehow in the back of their mind believe that they are being godlike?
It sounds wild, doesn't it?
Oh,
but I really believe that there are many people who do. Of course, there are those who don't care what God thinks. But if I have grown up in a home where I've been taught that God is watching from a distance, you know, he's making a list and checking it twice, and he's going to take care of things in the end, and I better kowtow to all of these do's and don'ts that I've been taught. And my life is so wrapped up in thinking that this is the kind of God I serve. Okay, then we are taught we're supposed to be Christ-like or God-like, and so we strive. I'm going to put a caveat in here. In the situation of abuse, it can go either way. It can be man to woman, which is larger percent, or woman to man. But excuse me if I will just use, if he grows up in a home where this is true and he has been taught this and he is commanded that he needs to, you know, learn these things from his parents, whether by word or action, and then he turns and is like that to his own family, you can imagine what the results will be. And if the woman has grown up in a similar home, she may have seen her mother respond in a way that her mother was taught, you know, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it no matter what. Till death do us part, that promise is more important, we believe sometimes, to God than the safety of his own children. You know, it's sad to me that we attribute to God things that we would never do to our own children.
Yes.
And that hurts my feelings when I hear God proclaimed to be that type of ruler, of person that would exact from us no matter what. I desire to see us learn what God is really like, and that would be the good news of the gospel if it's appropriately applied to our lives, and I think it would change how we treat each other dramatically.
So we're talking about the truth about God, the truth about his character. How did we arrive, Johnny? How did we arrive at this skewed view of God that is so powerful in us that we, becoming godlike, excuse domestic violence in our own lives?
Good question. You know, we can go clear back to the war in heaven if we want to and talk about how Satan immediately decided, I don't know how long it took him, but he went against the character of God to become prideful enough to say, I'm going to survive no matter what, and I'm going to take a third of the angels with me. And I think since then he has been trying to overlay his own character over the face of God. He knows God is powerful. That's never been an issue. But what he tries to tell us is that God misuses his power, that he controls us and forces us. And I've heard it from pulpits. I've heard it from people one-on-one, that when God decides something, you don't have a choice. You're either going to be saved or you're going to be lost, and that's just the way it is, so you better watch out, you know. Instead of understanding that those are the characteristics that come from the Father of lies, not the God of truth.
So many times when we are talking about God and we are describing God from the pulpit, we're actually describing Satan?
That sounds awfully heavy.
In other words, if we're saying God is vindictive, God is wrath-filled, God is a judge, God's going to bring destruction to you, God is going to be mean to you, God is going to exact from you the love that he deserves. We're talking about what Satan does to us, not what God does to us.
I believe that with all my heart. You cannot force love. Yeah. God is love. He created this whole universe to run on love. You know, the reciprocal giving of the clouds and the rain and how it works, all the natural laws that are there. If we take time to look at those, we can see who God really is. But we have somehow been fed this line by the father of lies and on down, and it's just been proliferated through the churches and information we have, that somehow God, he means business, and, you know, he's got this plan, and if you step outside of it, you're toast.
Wow, have you ever seen so many cereal boxes before?
There are a bunch of them. Some with pictures of animals, some with bowls of fruit and milk, and some with cartoon characters. How are we supposed to pick one for our camping trip?
Is there one with a picture of a tent on it?
Let's see. What did the nurse tell us last week in school?
She said if a snake bites you, don't suck out the poison?
No, before that.
She said that we should only buy food that has a very short list of ingredients on the package. And she said don't buy cereal that's loaded with sugar.
Okay, we know that ingredients are listed in order. The first item that's in here is the most, so here's a cool box. Let's see, first item, sugar.
This one too, sugar right at the top.
And this one. And this one. She said watch out for words like evaporated cane juice or corn syrup or even natural sweetener. They're just different words for sugar.
Hey, this one says that sugar is number 3.
Nope.
Why?
Read what comes next.
There are a bunch of words I can't pronounce.
The nurse said that if we can't pronounce it, our stomachs probably can't digest it. Try again.
Okay, here's a cereal that has just one thing in the ingredients list. 100% whole wheat.
That's all?
That's all.
Then that's it. Dump a little honey, fresh fruit, and soy milk on there, and we're eating healthy.
You sound like a commercial.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Our guest today is Johnny Lauren. We're talking about domestic violence, and surprisingly, we began talking about God's character. What has God's character got to do with domestic violence? Well, Johnny has made the argument, and I believe it with all my heart, that our vision of God drives how we treat people. And if we see God as a vindictive, wrath-filled, do it my way or I'll kill you kind of being, and we want to be godlike, guess what we do? We're doing the same thing, and that could include domestic violence. Johnny, let's talk about our churches. You dropped a bombshell saying that the rate of domestic violence in churched people is about the same as it is in unchurched people. How do we get the message across when the church itself may be part of the problem?
Oh, well, I can tell you that the committee that I have belonged to for 5 years, headed up by Dr. Renee Drum at the university, has first of all been doing research. Then we have begun to try to share this information with others. We are speaking in churches. We are coordinating and facilitating training sessions for pastors. And I'm delighted to say that the conference that we belong to has now required all of their pastors to attend that training. That just is miraculous, and we are so thankful. We are connected also with our North American division, and there has been a training for the whole North American division in Loma Linda in September, the first ever. We are not the head. We are somewhat the tail. If you watch television or Dr. Phil or a number of other talk shows, you realize that the subject has been addressed for a long time, but we as a church, or as churches, if you will, because we're all a fellowship of believers, has really not addressed this. And I think we just have a fear that if, you know, if we talk about it, it'll somehow get worse, or maybe it would split the church up, or someone might say, well, if I talk about that, they won't want me to be a leader next year. Yeah. So I have enough problems of my own. I really don't want to get into that. And unfortunately, we just keep it hidden most of the time. But you can't heal what you don't reveal, as the saying goes. So it's high time we addressed it.
What about young people? When should they start hearing about this and being told about it? I would assume, Johnny, Lauren, that you're saying that we not only need to start informing young people about it, but also informing them about the true character of God. These should go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you would hope that training would start in the home, unfortunately, since about 25% of people, both churched and unchurched, do experience domestic violence. You know, there's going to be a lot of that missing. Wouldn't it be nice if we had training programs as part of the curriculum in our grade schools, in our high schools and academies, in our colleges, and in our training for pastors? Unfortunately, in all of those, it's absent. We're trying to change that because we need people to understand. We don't want to scare them to death. We don't want a religion of fear in any area of our spiritual life. Fear does not beget love.
Yes.
You can't force love. You know, that's the bottom line. But information, somehow gently as they're younger, somehow more appropriate age-wise as they get older, there needs to be training at each level.
We all are aware of what domestic violence looks like, at least on one level. We see the woman and sometimes the man with the bruises and the black eye and the excuses, I fell down the stairs, I walked into the door, et cetera, et cetera. So we say, okay, domestic violence looks like that. Are there other types of domestic violence we should know about that may be unseen?
Oh, yes. It never starts there, usually. It starts with the emotional abuse. Maybe it's as simple as, I'm sure we've all seen it, someone makes a remark in public and the spouse rolls their eyes. You know, we don't think about that as being abuse, but if that makes that spouse feel less than or discounted, that's abusive to that person. And the fact is that if they're doing that, they're doing other things
yes.
at other times.
Yes.
What happens in a cycle of abuse is that the abuser tends to start in, as I say, with the emotional comments. You couldn't handle this without me. You're unable to live financially without me. You know, if you would just do everything right, I wouldn't have to jump you. I wouldn't have to get after you. If you had dinner on time, if you this. And finally, that person is beaten down so much that they feel that they have no resources, they have no abilities, basically, and they're belittled to the point of total submission. They become what's called a shadow person. And they may walk on eggshells for weeks or months on end, trying to make sure that nothing bad happens. And then the second part of the cycle is explosion, you know, by the person who is doing the abusing, and they just can't hold it in any longer. And they will do something very heavy. Luckily, that doesn't last as long. Then it goes into something we call the honeymoon period, where I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, and I'll never do it again. And they may bring roses. They may talk to the family and get them to say they'll help keep that spouse there. And then it starts all over again. You know, it's just a cycle, and it increasingly gets worse to the point, usually, of what we notice more of the physical. But it can be financial, it can be sexual, it can be religious, it can be health care. Someone's sick and not getting the care they need, being told they don't need to see a doctor, or, you know, even as small a thing as they know you're sick, but they won't even offer to go get medicine for you. All of those things tend to decrease the person's worth.
You know, I was listening to you there, and I recognize where the easiest place to go in and make changes takes place, and that's in that rolling of the eyes, in those very small, subtle times. If there's an abuser who is listening to this and wants to stop being an abuser, then you need to stop it at that easy point. Don't roll your eyes. Share with us, how do you do that? How do you change your attitude about the person so you don't roll your eyes when they make a comment?
Seeing that spouse as the most incredible person in your life, except for your Heavenly Father, will make a tremendous difference. And I just have to say here, I am so thankful for a spouse that does that for me. Uh-huh. He's just incredible. And you've got to see that partner as one with yourself. You know, I wouldn't do this to myself. And the Bible doesn't say love your neighbor instead of yourself. It says as yourself. And so you don't give up yourself when you give the best to your spouse, and just thinking, what can I do? What's the next best thing to lift that person up instead of pound them down so I feel better? That's where you start.
Okay, it starts then with our attitude toward our spouse, the very basic attitude we have. We find value in that spouse. We don't devalue that spouse. We find value in that spouse, just like we work very hard to find value in ourselves. Am I on the right track here?
You are. And in fact, I would step back to what you just said. Really, the starting is finding value in yourself.
Mm.
If you understand, I love what Brennan Manning, who wrote Abba's Child and Ragamuffin Gospel and some other wonderful books, he says, sink down into your belovedness. I just love that, because as we see our value in Christ's eyes and God's eyes, they're one and the same, you know. We know I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We tend to separate them, but they are the same, and they want the same for us. So if we see ourselves as their children and worthy of love, no one's ever worthy of abuse, by the way, then we could maybe stop abusing ourselves. I have to watch that one. You know, it's easy to carry on these life commandments that we hear from parents. Why can't you do this? Why aren't you better at that? Why don't you look like this person? And whether the parents are dead or not, we can still continue to roll those things over ourselves and abuse ourselves when no one else is around to do it. So, yeah, it really has to start with our value in God ourselves, and then we can be free to work with others.
My, and the place to see that value is at the foot of the cross. When we look up at the dying Savior, we are seeing what God really is like. He gives himself for us. He gives his life for us. And then we see the value of ourselves, that there is a God who would do that for us. And if we understand that, Johnny, it seems to me that there would be a change in our heart that would just keep domestic violence from ever happening. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Well, our time has flown by. I want to remind our listeners where they can get a copy of your latest Bible study guides on this topic. Where can they find that?
Go to comeandreason.com. Mm-hmm. It's all one line, comeandreason.com. And there will be a link there to the Bible studies on domestic violence.
All right.
It's 13 weeks of 7 days each week, and it'll carry you through more than you ever thought you wanted to know about it. I've had a lot of help. It's not me. I'm really thankful that God has led through this.
All right. That's comeandreason.com. Johnny Lauren, thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to have you back on our next program, because we've just sort of scratched the surface here. I want to talk next time about the victims of domestic violence, about usually it's the women, what they can do to deal with this and maybe bring some changes in their own lives, some very needed changes. That'll be next time on the program. Johnny, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
All right. And until next time, this is Charles Mills for Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.